Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, June 26, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're right in the middle of Vacation Bible School, and it has been absolutely wonderful and fantastic. Day three is completed. A little bit of an update on today. We had another great day at Vacation Bible School. 26 children attended today. A few of the children were not able to be here, but should be back tomorrow. They started with breakfast sausages wrapped in pancakes on a stick with syrup and whipped cream. See, and now a lot of you are going to come just for breakfast. This is a big hit with the children, as well as many of the adults on the VBS team. The attributes of God that they learned about today were love and eternal life. Both Daria and Sherry had great lessons for them, and they learned John 3:16. For their craft, they painted a wood heart to represent that God is love, and a wood ring representing God is eternal life. And they added these to their Essence of God box. They had hundreds of water balloons, which burst into about 5 million pieces, that the VBS team got to pick all up off the grass. The children love having water balloons. We asked many of the children what their favorite thing about VBS, Vacation Bible School, was so far. Well, most of them didn't have one thing. They had many things. Their answers were God, crafts, the lessons, songs, and of course the food came up over and over again. Darius said, it sounds like you like the food for your body and the food for your soul. Interesting, no one said games. Many said they really liked making the beaded Plan of God bracelets. So again, thank you all for your prayers. 2 more days of Vacation Bible School. And we encourage you to keep praying for that. That was the update from Jamie and the Vacation Bible School team. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are in a very, very unique and special passage in the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 5, let's start at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, en Christo, technical phrase for the doctrine of positional truth. Current positional truth as a result of faith in Jesus Christ and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new spiritual species. The old things have lost their power. Behold, new things have come. Verse 18. Now all these things are from God, God the Father, the one who reconciled us to himself through the agency of Christ, and he, God the Father, gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. And this is absolutely fantastic. God has given to every church age believer the ministry of reconciliation. And this is directly related to our royal ambassadorship. There are 2 royal commissions we have been given in the church age as royal family of God. We have been commissioned a royal priest, and we have been commissioned a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ. We haven't finished this paragraph. We only exegeted verse 18, but verses 19 and 20 are coming up. But look at verse 20. Now we keep on being ambassadors for Christ. We keep on being ambassadors for Christ. God, that is the Holy Spirit, as it were, makes his appeal through us. That's the convicting ministry of God the Holy Spirit. So we request on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. The church age believer has been commissioned by God as a royal ambassador representing the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And this means that every member of the royal family of God is in full-time Christian service. Not just Pastor Olson. I'm in full-time Christian service. Every one of you, all of you, are in full-time Christian service. So the church age believer has been given 2 royal commissions. He has been commissioned a royal priest representing himself before God. He has been commissioned a royal ambassador representing the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And these 2 royal commissions mean that God has a plan and a purpose for our life after salvation. After salvation, what? Well, what is fulfill the two royal commissions God has given you? The first part of the plan is to fulfill your royal priesthood. 2 Peter 3:18, grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is accomplished by consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. And this develops the motivational virtues of personal love for God the Father and personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ, which motivates us to fulfill our royal ambassadorship to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Fulfilling our commission as a royal ambassador is the functional virtue of impersonal love for all mankind. Specifically, in our verse, it is fulfilling our ministry of reconciliation. We have all been given this ministry of reconciliation. As a member of the royal family of God, you have a fantastic ministry. The ministry of reconciliation. You are in full-time Christian service. And therefore, you have the glorious privilege of giving the grace gospel to a lost and dying world. And that brought us to the doctrine of reconciliation. Very important doctrine in the Word of God, and we have studied the first two points. Point one was definition and description. Under definition and description, the doctrine of reconciliation is defined as that category of soteriology which explains the removal of the barrier between God and mankind through the salvation work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. At physical birth, we came into the world physically alive, but in the status of spiritual death. And therefore, there is a barrier between God and man as a result of our physical birth. All believers are reconciled to God the moment they believe in Jesus Christ. But the work of reconciliation actually took place on the cross. That's where the barrier was removed, by the salvation work of Christ on the cross. Reconciliation between God and man must be ratified. It must be ratified in every individual case through personal faith in Jesus Christ. Mankind is reconciled to God. God is never said to be reconciled to mankind. In reconciliation, man is reconciled to God by the salvation work of Christ on the cross. Reconciliation is stated as a doctrine in 2 Corinthians 5:18. And it's defined in our next verse, verse 19, which sounds like this. We haven't exegeted it yet, but it will sound like this. That is, God the Father was in Christ reconciling the world, all mankind, to himself, not imputing their trespasses, their personal sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation, the giving the grace gospel of Jesus Christ. That's personal witnessing. Every one of us have responsibility in personal witnessing as a part of our royal ambassadorship. Our personal sins, therefore, were not imputed to us. Instead, our personal sins were gathered up by God the Father, and then they were imputed to Jesus Christ on the cross, and then they were judged in Jesus Christ by God the Father. The imputation of our sins to Christ and the judgment of those sins becomes a major factor in the removal of all barriers between us and God. That point one, definition and description. And then we saw point two, all church age believers as royal ambassadors for Jesus Christ have the ministry of reconciliation under two categorical functions. First of all, there are a few believers who have the gift of evangelism. But secondly, there is the function of witnessing for Jesus Christ, and that is for all of you, all members of the royal family of God. Every believer is mandated to witness for Jesus Christ, and that's our paragraph, 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20. We have a responsibility, therefore, toward those who are not reconciled to God. And therefore, the ministry of reconciliation is fulfilling our royal ambassadorship, presenting the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. All right, that's as far as we got in the doctrine of reconciliation last time. We pick it up tonight in point three. Point three, the salvation work of Christ on the cross is the basis for reconciliation. The salvation work of Christ on the cross is the basis for reconciliation. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, starting at verse 8. But God, this is God the Father, demonstrates His own love, virtue love, and specifically here, His impersonal love for all mankind. But God demonstrates His own love, impersonal love for all mankind, for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the word for is huper plus the genitive. That's the preposition of substitution. In other words, you could translate this, Christ died as a substitute for us. Verse 9, since we have now been justified by His blood, the salvation work of Christ on the cross, justified, imputed with the righteousness of God at the moment of faith in Christ, and declared to be righteous, justified, vindicated by faith in Christ. Since we have now been justified by His blood, the salvation work of Christ, how much more shall we be delivered from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? And not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. All right, let's amplify this. Subpoint one. Reconciliation is totally the work of the integrity of God and the function of Christ bearing our sins on the cross. Reconciliation is totally the work of the integrity of God and the function of Christ bearing our sins on the cross. Two, reconciliation emphasizes the fact that we have eternal security. And that's in verse 9. Since we have now been justified by His blood, salvation work of Christ on the cross, how much more shall we be delivered from God's wrath? We have eternal security. 3. Since we have been reconciled to God, since we possess His righteousness, justification, God the Father imputed His righteousness to us and declared us to be righteous, justified, vindicated. So since we have been reconciled to God and possess His righteousness, there is nothing that we can do or think or say to cancel God's work of reconciliation. The barrier's been removed forever. Since we have been reconciled to God and possess His righteousness, there is nothing we can do, think, or say to cancel God's work of reconciliation. 4. What Jesus Christ accomplished for all mankind on the cross is reconciliation. The barrier was removed by Jesus Christ, by His work on the cross. But now it has to be ratified by each individual member of humanity. And how is it ratified? By faith in Jesus Christ. So what Jesus Christ accomplished for all mankind on the cross is reconciliation. Now it's up to each individual member of humanity that's ratified by personal faith in Jesus Christ. So salvation work of Christ on the cross is the basis for reconciliation. Now that brings us to point 4. Peace. Now, most of the time when somebody says the word peace, about all you can think of is world peace. But there are many other types of peace in the Word of God, and there is peace that is a synonym for reconciliation. Peace is a synonym for the doctrine of reconciliation. So we have here peace as the synonym for reconciliation. Point 4. Let's amplify that principle. 1. Peace is a synonym for reconciliation since being reconciled to God through faith in Christ establishes peace between God and the believer. Peace is a synonym for reconciliation since being reconciled to God through faith in Christ establishes peace between God and the believer. 2. Peace helps us to completely understand what God did for us in Operation Grace, the cross. The word peace helps us to completely understand what God did for us in Operation Grace on the cross. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 19, Colossians 1:19. For God the Father, was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him, Jesus Christ, to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. How? By making peace. By making peace, reconciliation, through His blood, the salvation work of Christ on the cross, shed on the cross. So, making peace through His blood, the salvation work of Christ, shed on the cross. Verse 21. Once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your minds, in your thinking, because of your evil behavior. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. All right, verse point one. We're now going to take a look at a couple of concepts from Colossians 1:19 to 22. In verse 21, when we were behind the barrier, when we were in spiritual death, our thinking was alienated from God and hostile to God. That's verse 21, Colossians 1:21. When we were behind the barrier in the status of spiritual death as an unbeliever, our thinking was alienated from God and hostile to God. Two. Yet God the Holy Spirit was able to make the gospel clear to our thinking, the convicting ministry of the Spirit, that the only way of salvation is faith in Jesus Christ. Yet God the Holy Spirit was able to make the gospel clear to our thinking that the only way of salvation is faith in Jesus Christ. So our believing in Jesus Christ was the first real constructive thinking in all of our lives. Three, in verse 22, you will be presented holy, blameless, and beyond reproach in your resurrection body in heaven. You will be presented holy, blameless, and beyond reproach in your resurrection body in heaven. Only God's grace plan is capable of accomplishing this astounding feat. That brings us to point five. Point five is, what makes up the barrier between God and man? What makes up that barrier between God and man? That barrier is made up of six parts. Six parts of the barrier. The first part of the barrier is sin. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the first part of the barrier is sin. The second part of the barrier is the penalty of sin, which is spiritual death. And that's defined in Romans 5:12. Romans 5, verse 12, therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death, spiritual death through sin, and so spiritual death spread to all mankind, because all sinned when Adam sinned. So the second part of the barrier is the penalty of sin, which is spiritual death. Part one of the barrier is sin, Romans 3:23. Second part of the barrier is the penalty of sin, spiritual death, Romans 5:12. Third part of the barrier is physical birth. We were born dichotomous. We were born with a body and a soul, but spiritually dead. And in spiritual death, we had no human spirit. We were dichotomous, body and soul, but no human spirit. So that was the third part of the barrier. The fourth part of the barrier is man's righteousness is minus R. God's righteousness is plus R. To live with God forever in heaven, you have to be as good as God is. You have to have the righteousness of God. But our righteousness was minus R, relative righteousness. So that's the fourth part of the barrier, man's relative righteousness. The fifth part of the barrier is the character of God. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. How can a holy God, absolute righteousness and perfect justice, allow sinful man into heaven? So the fifth part of the barrier is the character of God. The sixth part of the barrier is man's position in Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:22. In Adam, all die. So that's the sixth part of the barrier. So there are six parts of the barrier. Part one, sin. Part two, the penalty of sin, spiritual death. Part three, physical birth. We're born dichotomous, body and soul, but we're spiritually dead, no human spirit. Part four, man's relative righteousness, minus R. Part five, the character of God. How can a holy God allow sinful man into heaven? Part six, man's position in Adam. In Adam, all die. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Now, part one of the barrier, sin, was removed by redemption. Part one of the barrier, sin, was removed by redemption. Part two of the barrier, the penalty of sin, was removed by expiation. The substitutionary spiritual death of Christ on the cross. Colossians 2:14, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So part two of the barrier, the penalty of sin, was removed by expiation, the substitutionary spiritual death of Christ on the cross. Part three of the barrier, physical birth. We are born dichotomous. That was removed by regeneration, being born again. So at the moment of regeneration, faith in Jesus Christ, now we're born again. Now we're trichotomous. Now we have a body, soul, and a human spirit. At the moment of salvation, faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit, and God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. So, part three of the barrier of physical birth, being dichotomous, is removed by regeneration. Part four of the barrier, man's relative righteousness, minus R, is resolved by imputation and justification. At the moment of faith in Christ, God the Father imputes his righteousness to us, and declares us to be righteous, justified, vindicated by faith in Christ. Part five of the barrier, the character of God, God's absolute righteousness and perfect justice, is satisfied by propitiation. Jesus Christ satisfied the holiness of the Father. He satisfied the righteousness of the Father because he was absolute righteousness. He satisfied the justice of the Father by bearing our sins in his body on the cross. So part five of the barrier, the character of God, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice, is satisfied by propitiation. And part six of the barrier, man's position in Adam, is resolved by man's position in Christ. In Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:22. So the barrier is made up of six parts, and Jesus Christ removed every part of that barrier. Reconciliation. Point six. Point six, reconciliation is the means of establishing unity in the royal family. Reconciliation is the means of establishing unity in the royal family. Turn over to Ephesians 4, verse 3. Ephesians 4, verse 3. Ephesians 4, 3. Which says, be diligent to guard the unity of the Spirit. How? By means of the bond of peace. And we already say peace is a synonym for reconciliation. Be diligent to guard the unity of the Spirit by means of the bond of peace, reconciliation. Let's amplify this. One, since all members of the royal family of God have been reconciled to God at the moment of salvation, since all members of the royal family of God have been reconciled to God at the moment of salvation, the barrier has been removed between God and man by Christ's work on the cross. So also, all members of the body of Christ should be reconciled to each other. That means removing barriers in human relationships. God removed the barrier between Him and us. Now, as a result of that, as members of the body of Christ, we should be reconciled to each other. And that means in all different types of human relationships, the barriers should be removed. Sad to say, but today among Christians, they spend most of their time building barriers between human relationships and all different kinds of human relationships. And then they turn around and think that they're doing great things, that they are great believers, and they're not great believers at all. In fact, they don't even have a spiritual life. They're not fulfilling any mandates of God. There's nowhere I've found in the Bible that God gives you a command to build barriers between you and other people. There's nowhere in the Bible I see where it says you are commanded to have a personality conflict with other people. I have never found that in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. We're commanded to remove barriers. And when you live the spiritual life, by the spiritual skills, when you grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when you develop personal love for God, God the Father, personal love for Jesus Christ, an occupation with Christ, then that will motivate you to have impersonal love for all mankind. Every human relationship that there is. And that includes marriage. We're living at a time when all couples are doing in marriage is creating barriers, building barriers. And that simply says there's no spiritual life, there's no virtue, love brought to completion in their heart. There's no personal love for God which motivates impersonal love for all. The command of the husband in marriage is, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. How did Jesus Christ love us? He loved us with infinite, impersonal love for all when we were at our worst. Worst, worst, worst. Spiritually dead, totally depraved, and no damn good. And he loved us with impersonal love for all. And the husbands are commanded, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her on the cross. And that means love your wives when they are at their worst. And same thing goes for the wives. Love your husband when they're at their worst. There'll be times when the husband is a total, I got a lot of words in my vocabulary I want to throw out there. And if you're living the spiritual life and have virtue love, you'll love him when he's at his worst. And husbands, there'll be times when your wives are at their worst. If you're living the spiritual life and have virtue love and impersonal love for all, you will love her when she's at her worst. You will remove barriers. Personality conflicts is building barriers. And that's not reconciliation. God removed the barrier between us and him, and therefore we also should, as members of the body of Christ, should be reconciled to each other. If we have been reconciled to God by the work of Christ on the cross, we should utilize experientially what has been provided in grace to be reconciled to one another. Two, persistence in learning and believing the Word of God. Persistence in growing up in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ will eliminate personality conflicts. It will eliminate personality conflict because it results in virtue love being brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father, personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ, which motivates you to have impersonal love for all. Impersonal love for all is unconditional. It's unconditional love. So persistence in learning and believing the Word of God should eliminate personality conflict because it results in virtue love being brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God, which motivates impersonal love for all. Three, reconciliation toward one another means that there's no place for personality conflicts in the spiritual life. Reconciliation toward one another means there is no place for personality conflict in the spiritual life. Four, whenever personality conflicts exist between two Christians, one or both are completely out of line. They're out of fellowship with God. That's not what God has commanded us. Whenever personality conflicts exist between two Christians, one or both are completely out of line. And that means You have to use the most basic problem-solving device that God has given us. 1 John 1:9, if we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 5. There's nowhere in the Word of God that God commands us to have personality conflicts with others. There is no place in the Word of God where God commands us to have personality conflicts with others. And just the opposite. It's just the opposite. God mandates us to have impersonal love for all. And we've seen this many, many, many times. But go ahead and turn over to John, the Gospel of John. John 13:34, the Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class, and He says, "A new command I give you, hate your neighbor." Oh, it's not in there? Oh, well, that's what's going on. "A new command I give to you, love one another." That's impersonal love for all. "As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another with impersonal love for all." Turn over to John 15. John 15, the Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class again. Verse 12, my command is this, love one another as I have loved you. That's a mandate. Love one another with impersonal love for all. Verse 17, this is my command again, love one another. Love one another with impersonal love for all. Reconciliation in human relationships is the removal of barriers, not the creation of barriers. And this is for all human relationships. Marriage is certainly one of the areas today that's crashing and burning. Problems in personality conflict are caused by arrogance. Arrogance, which includes sins like jealousy and bitterness, fear, hatred, anger, self-pity, guilt, gossip, slander, maligning, judging. And this is what believers are doing. And that only creates barriers. There's no reconciliation there. 6. Therefore, when you find yourself in a personality conflict with another believer, you need to look at your own life. You have to look at your own life. You're not removing barriers, you're creating barriers. There's some sin that's keeping you from living the spiritual life and keeping you from growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, keeping you from having virtue love brought to completion in your heart, keeping you from having impersonal love for all, loving one another. So there's some sin in your own life. Look at your own life. It's easy to point fingers at others. You need to point fingers at yourself. 7. Always look at yourself. Don't blame the other person. Because if you have impersonal love for all, you love the good, the bad, and the ugly. It doesn't make any difference. So always look to yourself. Don't blame the other person. Because no matter how obnoxious a person is, you should be able to handle it. If you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, if you have personal love for God that will motivate impersonal love for all, you should be able to handle it. No big deal. You should be able to handle it, tear down the barriers, and move on. So always look to yourself. Stop blaming the other person, because no matter how obnoxious a person is, you should be able to handle it from virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Impersonal love, unconditional impersonal love for all mankind. And if you can't, then you're not living the spiritual life. What is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life for every one of us in the church age? To have virtue love brought to completion in our heart. That's the ultimate objective. That could only be fulfilled by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. That means fulfilling the mandate of keep on being filled, empowered by the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. Keep on walking or living by the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. It means fulfilling the mandate of to get maximum Bible doctrine in your heart, 2 Peter 3:18. Keep, grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These are the mandates of the spiritual life. We're commanded to fulfill those mandates. And when you do, then you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And what that means, impersonal love for all. 8, subpoint 8. You can't get involved in personality conflicts and ever attain spiritual adulthood. You cannot get involved in personality conflicts and ever attain spiritual adulthood. Impossible. Absolutely impossible. 9. Once you believe in Christ, personality conflict is inexcusable in the plan of God. There's no way that should be a part of the plan of God in your life ever again. Once you believe in Christ, personality conflict is inexcusable in the plan of God. Point 10. So also, we've got to have a so also in here. So also, no one can learn and metabolize Bible doctrine and have a personality conflict with their pastor. You will never learn Bible doctrine. You will never metabolize Bible doctrine because you're too damn arrogant. You have a personality conflict with the pastor. You will never grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You will always live in Satan's cosmic system as a loser. So also, no one can learn and metabolize the Word of God and have a personality conflict with their pastor. Personality conflict is irrational. Whenever you have a personality conflict with someone else, this is a warning to you that there's something very wrong in your spiritual life. You don't have a spiritual life. So, personality conflict, whenever you have that with someone else, this is a warning. There is something very, very wrong with your spiritual life because you don't have a spiritual life. 11. personality conflict is nothing more than people testing. People testing is a part of momentum testing. Personality conflict is nothing more than people testing as a part of momentum testing. 12. The greatest personality conflict in history was the attitude of people toward the Lord Jesus Christ while he was here at the first advent. He was treated as a common criminal by his own people. He was laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, spat upon, thorns crushed on his head. He was beaten and beaten and beaten to the point his closest friends couldn't even recognize him. He was made to carry his own cross to Golgotha, the place of the skull. And when he got there, they crucified him. And he didn't even commit one sin. He was impeccable. He was sinless perfection. He was the God-man. He didn't even commit one sin, let alone to have people hate him, despise him, reject him, and want to crucify him. And the Jews stood around the cross and maligned him and slandered him. The Romans stood around the cross and maligned him and slandered him. The greatest personality conflict in history was the attitude of people toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and especially while he was on the cross. So this is a very important part of the doctrine of reconciliation. Reconciliation is the means of establishing unity in the royal family. Be diligent to guard the unity of the Spirit. How? By means of the bond of peace, reconciliation. Critical, important part of the doctrine of reconciliation. Well, now we've gone all the way through 6 points. But we haven't completed it. So I'm going to come back next week and maybe, I don't make promises anymore, maybe we'll finish the doctrine of reconciliation. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.